on the previous edition of the Gerwick Report podcast.
And they, what did they do with Disco? He was another one had heat. He was a real prick anyway, but they tried to drown him one time. We were down in Orlando, Florida, when we used to do the tapings at Disney World, where they put him up under the pool, and they were really trying to drown him, brother. I think somebody stopped him, but, they, you know, he had a lot of heat. They hated him. Hey, everybody. This is Teddy Long, and you're listening to the Gerwick Report podcast. And this is the podcast player that tell it like it is, and that's real talk. And you're going to be hanging out with my man Steve Gerwick and Frank D. Holla, holla, player.
Let me holla at you, player.
Welcome to episode 122 of the Gerwick Report podcast, the GRP, the podcast that tells it like it is. I am Steve Gerwick of Gerwick.net. All your wrestling news one click away at www.gerwick.net. All your wrestling news since 1997. Let me tag in my first tag team partner of the day, my longtime tag team partner, the one and only Frank D.
What's going on, Steve? How's it going, man?
Doing good, and also we have our six-man tag team partner. We need to make a tag team match here, Frank. I think I can feel it. He is a former general manager of SmackDown, ECW, Managed Legends, future Hall of Famer, Gerwick.net Hall of Famer, and now he's our six-man tag team partner, the one and only Teddy Long. How you doing today, sir?
I'm good. Holla, 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 player.
All right. And I want to thank everybody out there real quickly for all the feedback. Teddy announced last week that he's going to be a regular here on the GRP. We definitely do appreciate that. Got a lot of great feedback. People want to see and hear your perspectives on today's topics, what's currently going on. And, you know, Frank, I think with what we offer here, you know, I've covered wrestling since 1997. You're kind of the super fan, the podcaster. And now by adding Teddy Long, that really sets us apart from the other podcasts. We give a perspective that no other podcast can offer.
Absolutely. We give a perspective of somebody who spent, you know, 15 years at WWE, who had a career before that in World Championship Wrestling and, you know, Jim Crockett Promotion. So I think that it all evens out, man. And we're definitely excited to have Teddy Long as regular here on GRP and affiliated with Gerwick.net. It's basically a win-win situation for all of us.
Absolutely. And real quickly, Frank, before we dive in, go ahead and plug the YouTube channel.
Definitely. Check out youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast today. We have interviews up there with Teddy Long, the Honky Tonk Man, Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff. Check it out today. You know, subscribe to our channel. We have over 700 subscribers right now and trying to reach 1,000. So that would be, you know, cool if you guys would go out there and check us out and just like the page and subscribe to the page, and more audio content coming soon. So just check it out right now, youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. If you like what you hear on the GRP or the Raw Deal Podcast, and myself and Abby Green are breaking Raw, tons of audio content right now on Gerwick.net. If you like what you hear or like what you listen to, check out ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick today. We have our t-shirts up there, $19.99 plus shipping, and we'll get you one of our shirts. Check out the Raw Deal t-shirt. Check out the Gerwick.net t-shirt, Gerwick Report Podcast t-shirt. I mean, Teddy's rocking the GRP shirt, and Teddy's looking, you know, good doing it, so you can look like Teddy. You know, holla, holla at a player. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick today.
Absolutely. And, of course, in addition to the GRP and the Raw Deal Podcast, we also have the Rack Show with Lindsey Ward and Sir Rockin. And check out Pro Wrestling Nation with Funky Sam Medina. Always an interesting perspective of what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. And I guess what's going on in the world of professional wrestling is we're getting very close to WrestleMania. And I don't know if you heard the story, Teddy, but apparently WrestleMania is going to be like all day. We know it's always the four-hour spectacle. There's a pre-show. We have the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Now slotted to actually go beyond 4 hours. And, you know, I want to get your perspective on this, Teddy. We are subjected, you know, weekly to Raw being 3 hours. We have SmackDown. We have NXT. We get a lot of live programming from WWE. And we know WrestleMania is the Super Bowl of professional wrestling, still is to this day, but I don't know, Teddy, 4 hours plus of WrestleMania, that seems like a lot.
Well, you know, I would think it's a lot, too, but I think right now it would probably work because this is the first time ever, you know, that that's ever happened for a pay-per-view, especially at WrestleMania. And the other thing I think that they're trying to give the people something different, you know, this has never been done, it's never happened before, so it's kind of brand new. So I think the people will certainly bite on it right now. You know, I think if, you know, they continue this for maybe 3 or 4 more WrestleManias, you know, that may get boring or, you know, it may kind of phase out. But right now, I think it's going to work for them because it's the first time ever, and I think the people will bite on it. And I just hope that, you know, they have the right content and they've got, you know, the right stuff that's going to hold people for 4 hours. And I'm pretty sure they're going to do that. You know, they're going to have a lot of entertainment there, I'm sure of. And so they probably worked on some other stuff that will involve wrestling. So if they're able to entertain those people for 4 hours and hold them there, I think it's a good thing. And like I said, it's brand new right now. I think it'll work, but I wouldn't want to make it a full-time deal. I wouldn't want to run it all the time.
I think it's too much WWE. I mean, I could barely get through 3 hours of Raw, and I don't want to see WrestleMania all damn day. So, I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing the crowd reaction at WrestleMania this year because, honestly, I feel underwhelmed with the build-up so far to WrestleMania.
Let me touch on that too, Frank. You know, you know, I'm kind of like you too, you know, but, you know, we got to look at ourselves in this position. You know, we do this each and every day of our lives. You know what I mean? Wrestling is our life. And you're going to have these people that, you know, just don't know anything but about wrestling. And that's all that they know and that's all that they want to see. So they're going to be excited about it because they're just big wrestling fans. But I'm like you too. You know, I've seen this all my life, you know, and that would be certainly boring to me. But I'm not going to put myself in the, you know, in the position of a wrestling fan. You're going to have some wrestling fans that are going to like that. But I'm like you too. It's hard to get through the 3 hours of Raw because there's just so much talking. I think if they had more matches, you know, maybe we could take it. But, you know, it's different from my outlook and a wrestling fan.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna agree with you on that because when I was younger and I wasn't so smart to the business, it was a lot more fun. I was a huge fan of everything. But as I got older and I got more smart, it wasn't fun anymore. It's more like, okay, I have to critique and criticize everything now. It's wrestling is no longer fun for me. It's like, oh, this dude sucks and this sucks and that sucks. I mean, it was a time, Teddy, when, you know, WrestleMania was like Christmas come early. That's how it used to be for me. And now it's like, it's just another show, man.
Well, you know, and I have to say this too, you know, it's kind of like, you know, with me and you, you know, like a lot of people come up to me and they'll ask me, you know, did I watch the new John Cena movie or did I see the Randy Orton movie? And I'll tell them no, because I can't look at that movie the same. I know John Cena. I've seen him for 15 years every day. So it just doesn't, that movie just doesn't do anything for me, you know, because I've just got this relationship with this guy or Randy Orton, you know. So that's why the movies would never interest me. I'm not saying the movies are not good. They just don't interest me because I'm looking at a guy that I've seen for 15 years. So I just really don't, you know, I really don't care about watching it.
You mentioned the crowd there, Frank. That's the problem I could foresee from a live event is we at home watch 4 hours of the show. We watch 3 hours of Raw every week. Now we have 4 hours plus at home. I mean, we can get up, we can walk around, we can play on our cell phones or, you know, check out girlwick.net for all the latest wrestling news or order a t-shirt from Pro Wrestling Tees. But, you know, for the fans at the event, I mean, you can get up and stretch, but I think they really run the risk of having a very burnt out crowd by the end. And if you want the fans to pop for Triple H versus Roman Reigns, which on the surface is not a very hot match going in, then this 4 hour plus is going to be difficult to sit through. And then I don't know if that's going to be the last match or if they're going to do Undertaker versus Shane last. I assume the WWE Championship match will be the main event. But, you know, Teddy, they really risk burning that live crowd out. And by the end of the show, last two matches, the whole crowd just be totally burned out.
Well, that's certainly a long time to be sitting there. You know, the only thing I'm hoping is that they have the right entertainment and the right stuff to entertain these people and hold those people there. So I'm very interested to see what's going to happen at this WrestleMania.
What do you think, Teddy? What should be the main event? Would you go Undertaker, Shane? Or did you do the traditional WWE Championship match last?
Well, I would go Undertaker Shane for the main event because, I mean, that's, you know, Hunter and Roman, they've seen them wrestle before. They've seen that match. I'm not saying they're going to see the same match that they've seen before, but it's already been a feud going there. But this thing with Hunter and, with the Undertaker and Shane McMahon is brand new. And I'd have the people wait on that. I'd make that the main event, the last match.
You and I talk, and we're kind of old school, thinking the WWE Championship should be the last match. And typically on a pay-per-view, you put your main event should be your championship match. But I kind of agree with Teddy in this case. The hottest match they have is Undertaker versus Shane. So should that be the main event, or would you go Reigns and Triple H?
I would go Reigns and Triple H for the championship in the main event. I would do the Undertaker Shane McMahon match earlier on, and I would have whatever the outcome of that match have that interfere in the main event. Whether it would be Shane McMahon, you know, somehow beating the Undertaker and taking control of Raw, coming out there and costing Triple H the WWE Championship, aligning himself with Roman Reigns. That's where I would go with it.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Whoever follows that match, unless they do the kind of the intermission, you know, the 20 minutes they do to fill
but
some time. But
I got to say this, too. I don't mean to cut you off, Steve, but I got to say this, too. I got to bring everybody back because we're talking about Hell in a Cell, and it's The Undertaker, and people are like, well, you know, this is going to be a really good match, and I'm thinking it's going to be a good match just because of the worker that Shane McMahon is and also the worker of Undertaker. But we got to think back to the worker that the Big Boss Man was and the Undertaker and go back to WrestleMania 15 and the Hell in a Cell, and it was a cluster.
I just think it's going to be tough, whatever they put on after that match. That's why I'm almost thinking it's better to put Taker Shane last, because
it diminishes the championship if you do it that way. They already have people that don't take Roman Reigns seriously anyway. So if you put Roman Reigns and Triple H, say, in the middle of the show for the championship or towards the tail end, but that's not the main event, then people are like, oh, well, you know what? He's just what we thought along. You know, we thought the entire time he's not worth anything because he couldn't even main event WrestleMania.
But the thing is anybody going to care if Roman Reigns wins?
It doesn't matter if anybody's going to care or not. It's the plan. That's WWE's plan. That's where they're going with it. Whether we like it or not, that's where they're going with it. It's not going to make a damn difference. If they put the match on, you know, in the main event or not, that's where they're going with it. And if it's Triple H, you know it's going to be the main event.
Well, and it's just like you just said, Frank, they don't care. It's what they want to do, and that's what they're going to do. Whether what the people like or not, they're going to give you what they want to give you.
Yeah, I just think nobody cares if Roman Reigns wins. I put that out as the semi-main event, and then the main event would be, I'm assuming Shane is going to win, so I have Shane win the final Hell in the Cell match, and the show ends on a positive note, and people are popping because, again, it's 4 hours. You're going to have to sit through 4 hours live. Nobody is really into Triple H Roman Reigns, so put on the match that people want to see last, assuming Shane goes over and that everybody's happy at the end
of
the show.
Let me ask you this question right quick, and I can ask both of you guys this. Let's go back to WrestleMania 8. Remember they built that show as a double main event. It was Ric Flair versus Randy Savage for the WWF Championship, and then Hulk Hogan versus Sid Justice. And they were building it as Hulk Hogan's final match. Now, out of both of those matches, Ric Flair versus Randy Savage was the better match. Should Ric Flair and Randy Savage have gone on and main event that show, or should Hulk Hogan and Sid Justice have main event at WrestleMania 8?
Well, I mean, you can make the same argument for, like, WrestleMania 3. Certainly, Hogan versus Andre was not the best match.
But it was for the championship.
People wanted to see it because they'd never wrestled
right
before, but certainly Savage versus Steamboat was a far better match.
Yeah, but the Hogan versus Andre match was for the WWF Championship. The Randy Savage Steamboat match, which was a better match, obviously, was for the IC Championship. You always got to put what I'm getting at is that you always have to put the championship first. If it's for the WWF Championship, it should be in the main event. The WWF Championship or the WWE Championship should not be in the middle of the show. It should not be, you know, the last.
I didn't suggest it be the middle of the show. I say
It should be nowhere. It should be nowhere near. It shouldn't even be that way. It should be in the main event. It's for the championship. I think the WWE Championship is more important than Shane McMahon versus Undertaker in Hell in a Cell.
Hey, let me touch on this, too. I was just sitting here, and I was thinking of an idea, you know, if it was me. I would put, say, Triple H, Roman Reigns, maybe not semi-main, but maybe next, you know, before the semi-main, then you got the main Undertaker. So if you went with Triple H and Roman in that match before the semi-main, say, I don't know, just say Triple H loses the belt. Okay, Roman wins the thing. All right, now, if I'm Triple H, you know, I'm thinking, oh, shit, I've lost the world title right now, so if I don't get control of what's going on in this main event, then we're going to lose control of the company. So what I think I'd have, if Hunter drops the belt and Roman wins the belt, then I go into the main event with Shane and Undertaker. Then what I would have right there is just about you thinking it's time that Shane is going to win this thing, you know, here comes Stephanie. I would have, maybe you could do something where Triple H, you know, maybe, I mean, I'm sorry, where Roman does something to Triple H, you know, where maybe they stretch him out, or maybe you put him in a position where you think he can't come back, where you not have to worry about him no more. Roman wins the belt, Triple H is hurt, he's out. Now you go into the main event, you've got Shane almost about to win this thing, here comes Stephanie. Stephanie comes down, now you're thinking she's going to interfere in this thing to keep Shane from running the company. Stephanie does come down, all of a sudden you think Stephanie's going to get one in, here comes Linda McMahon. Linda McMahon comes in, gets Stephanie out of the picture, now we go into something with Shane the Undertaker, and Shane wins the thing.
Yeah, but see, the problem with that storyline, the way you're pitching it, is that we have not seen Linda McMahon on television at all.
Right.
And Linda McMahon really is a non-factor, just like we haven't really seen on air anything between Triple H and Shane McMahon.
Well, you remember Frank, you remember I suggested this. You know, look, I can tell you, I didn't want to give it away. I mean, I don't know what I'm giving away or not. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But I was saying you got to bring Linda on TV just before you go to into WrestleMania. You know, you had Vince call your son a son of a bitch. Now, that has to touch a nerve with the mother. So you've got to hear from her some kind of way. And like you said, we haven't seen her on TV yet, but I'm hoping that she comes out just before, you know, maybe the last Raw before WrestleMania, so now we got an idea of what may happen there. I don't know what they're going to do, though.
Something needs to happen, though, because this angle so far, I was so hyped for it in the beginning. But my interest level is way down with this, especially after last Monday night, that confrontation with Shane and Vince and Taker and Shane McMahon botching the promo and all that stuff. And it's just, you know, something's missing from this. Some ingredient is missing. I don't know what it is. It could be Linda McMahon. I don't know, but something's missing.
I can tell you what's missing from it. There's no good versus evil. That's what's missing from it, okay? There's no idea of whether Undertaker's going to stay a babyface or a heel. There's nothing to tell me nothing. I have no interest of whether I'm going to see Undertaker turn or whether I'm going to see him drop Vince on his ass or what. I just don't know.
When I saw it Monday, though, I was thinking to myself, you know what? This reminds me, seeing Shane in the ring with Vince and Undertaker, it reminds me of back in the day, the corporate ministry. That's exactly what it was like.
Right.
And it's just, I mean, it's cool to see Shane back, but if they have no real plan for Shane past WrestleMania, I don't see what the point is of this, or the purpose of it. And a lot of people out there are basically like, you know, they don't even want to see this match. I'm willing to be open with it and see where they go with the angle, but just the bottom line of how I feel about it, that match should not be main event in WrestleMania.
And I tend to agree with you, Frank. When they first had Shane come back, I was all into it too, but I agree, it's kind of fallen flat, the build-up, and I kind of agree with Teddy as well. What is the point of Undertaker fighting Shane?
Yeah, that's my question right there. What is the point? That's it. That's all I want to know.
I mean, there's no friction, there's no heat between the two. Why would Undertaker represent Vince against Shane?
Yeah. Well,
what's in it for him?
There's no good versus evil.
Yeah. Well,
Undertaker just wants to fight.
You know, too, what Vince has said a long time ago, the old days of good versus bad is gone. It's just like vanilla versus vanilla now.
I'd have to kind of agree with that, too, but I'm from the old school. I don't care what you do. If you ain't got no heat, you ain't got nothing.
Okay, and that's probably one of the reasons why majority of its talent comes out there and they get no reactions, because people can't decipher what the hell they are.
Right.
You know, I remember.
Nobody knows who's good and nobody knows who's bad.
Exactly. And I'm from the old school too. You know, I'm 32 years old, but I'm from the old school. I grew up on this stuff. So it was always me, you know, good guys versus bad guys. That's what it's built on. Just like any movie you go to see, it's good versus evil. Same thing. And all WWE is one damn giant movie that keeps going and going and going like Energizer Bunny. You know?
Exactly.
You know, this is a good debate because actually I started this debate thinking I would go Undertaker, Shane last, but now that I've thought about it and talking to you guys, because I know we'll get some feedback. Frank's probably right. You probably still end the show with your WWE Championship match, but I think it just speaks volumes that those are probably the two biggest matches on the show, and there's just not a lot of interest in either match. I mean, neither match is really that hot going into WrestleMania, and I guess those are the top two matches, and it just doesn't blow me away. You would think one of the two would be super hot going into WrestleMania, but as we talk here today, and we don't know what's going to happen on Monday Night Raw tonight, but still, I mean, they have to get some heat on one of those guys because right now it's falling flat.
Yeah, they you're right. I agree. They have to do something, you know what I mean? They got to establish both of these guys. They got to establish Undertaker and Shane and let us know just exactly who's who. And that I don't think has been done.
Roman Reigns is the guy. He's the chosen one right now. And a year from now, do you think Roman Reigns is elevated that he's one of the top stars? Or do you think he's kind of in the same boat where he's trying to get over, he's trying to really establish himself, or do you see them really elevating him? I guess what I'm really asking, does Roman Reigns winning the championship at WrestleMania 32, I know it's just WrestleMania this year, but does that really elevate Roman Reigns, or does he still have a lot of work to do?
Well, I think that will help him a little bit for his elevation, but Roman still has a lot of work to do. I mean, a lot of work to do. And I think he's trying. I think he's trying real hard. But sometimes, you know, it's kind of the promotion. You know, it's how they use you and how they have you going out doing stuff. So I think Roman still has a lot of work to do, but winning the championship at WrestleMania 32 will certainly help him. But, man, he's going to have to, you know, kind of step it up.
Roman Reigns' big money is going to be Roman Reigns as a heel. And they could do that a double turn at WrestleMania between him and Triple H. You could take Shane McMahon taking control of the company. Shane McMahon has an interest in the main event. He comes down there. He doesn't like Triple H. He doesn't like the authority. He doesn't like what they've been doing. Costs Triple H championship. Aligns with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is the heel. And you go from there. One thing that I did like on Monday night, and hopefully, you know, they'll do that tonight on Raw, is they have nixed the Roman Reigns crowd entrance. He's now coming down the aisle. Like everybody else, I think that's a positive step. The next step is get rid of the Shield music. Roman Reigns needs to be in his own lane. Roman Reigns needs to evolve as a character. And WWE needs to turn him heel ASAP. Because you got to turn him heel in order for him to become that great babyface. We saw this back in the day with The Rock. We saw The Rock come in as Rocky Maivia, smiling, kissing babies. It didn't work. He comes back. He's the Nation of Domination. He's The Rock, Rocky Maivia, then shortened off to The Rock. He was a babyface for a couple weeks. He says the only, you know, he said to Vince McMahon, I'd rather kiss a people's ass than ever kiss yours. And then at Survivor Series, he turns heel, joins the Vince, they formed a corporation. He went through that whole run, and then he became a great babyface. That's what Roman Reigns has to do. People have no reason right now to accept Roman Reigns because they feel that Roman Reigns hasn't worked for it. They'll support Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins because they feel that they've earned it. They worked for it. They feel that Roman Reigns hasn't earned it. Roman Reigns hasn't worked for it. So that's the reason why a lot of people don't like him. And the bottom line to a lot of people don't like Roman Reigns, and I'm talking about a lot of the guys don't like him, is because your girl probably wants to sleep with Roman Reigns. And that's pretty much
right.
What it is. Your girl.
And that's true. And that's true, right? I'm telling you.
Yeah, he has the look. I mean, Roman Reigns has the look of Hollywood actor, model type of guy, not sports entertainer, professional wrestler. And that's just pretty much what it is. And a lot of people felt the same way back in the day about The Rock, too. But I believe that in time, I mean, if they put Roman Reigns out there as a badass heel, silent heel, aligned with Shane McMahon to form some kind of a new group, a new faction, I think that would definitely work. But he can't. They can't continue with this, trying to be a babyface and trying to push him down people's throats. The fans are going to always regurgitate it, and you're going to hear that every single Monday night moving forward here. Every time because he comes out there, it's going to be the same deal.
And it's because that's not what the fans want. They don't want that babyface. They want that heel.
We already got John Cena, right? We've been wanting John Cena to be a heel for so long, but it's like, okay, when John Cena turns heel, if he ever turns heel, oh, he does it. Okay, well, do you really care anymore?
Right.
I don't. You know, comparison.
I kind of gave up on it. I kind of gave up on it like I gave up on Undertaker versus Sting at WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
You know, the thing is, too, you made the comparison, and I know a lot of people has pointed this out as, you know, The Rock, his turn heel, and then you turn him back babyface was, he got super over, and certainly, I agree, that was a great booking strategy to get him over as a super monster babyface. The problem is, The Rock has so much charisma.
Right. Roman doesn't have
one. I just don't see it. He's just...
Yeah.
I mean, even if you do the same strategy, once he gets into that fold of being the number one babyface guy, he still doesn't have the charisma as The Rock. He's not going to cut the promos. He's not going to entertain for 15 minutes on a promo. He's just not that guy. He's just not the same guy. I mean, they may be related, but... The Rock does not equal Roman Reigns.
He doesn't. And you can't.
That's the
you
problem.
Can't compare it. You know, you can't compare the two either. And I'm not comparing them. I'm going by, you know, just history. But here's the thing with Roman Reigns too. I saw a video of Roman Reigns when he was in NXT, and he cut a promo and he had on a suit and basically he was being really arrogant and cocky. If you put that Roman Reigns out there, who's arrogant, cocky, don't give a shit about any of these people, and go out there and verbally just not give the guy a script, just give him the bullet points of what he has to do, but let him be himself. Let him go out there and say, you know, to hell with all you people. I don't give a damn if you like me or not. You know, I'm the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. You're going to respect me, and if you don't respect me, screw you. What's wrong with Roman Reigns going out there and doing something like that instead of doing these promos that, you know, he's really uncomfortable doing? You can tell it that he's uncomfortable doing and uncomfortable with saying what he's saying. It's not him. You know, and that's the one I think a lot of these writers don't get when they're producing these guys is you don't know the guy. And if you don't know the guy, how the hell can you write something for him? You got to have some kind of a connection with the talent. You know, you got to know something about these guys in order to do that. It's like, you know, it's kind of like with Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know. They get bullet points, but Austin would go out there and do the damn thing, and it worked tremendously. Same thing with Mick Foley. Same thing with, you know, Shawn Michaels.
Well, Frank, I would have to agree, you know, with you 100%. It has to be you. You know, like you said, these writers cannot write for you if they don't know you. And I can give you a perfect example. When I first started, I mean, first got the general manager role, they came to me and they told me they wanted me to be like Don King. Not in the general manager role. It's when I started managing. When I started managing guys, I was a heel then. They wanted me to be Don King. That's what they came to me with. I didn't never think twice about that because I had in my mind that I knew how to be me. I knew how to be a heel. I had been that, you know, in WCW and NWA. So basically, that's how I was able to get over as general manager because Vince let me kind of wrote my own stuff. They would bring me stuff, and then I would look at it, and there was some stuff that I would say, no, brother, I wouldn't say this. Okay, now here's what I would say. I said, take this back to Vince, show it to him, and let him see, make sure it's okay. So that's how I was able to got my character over because I was able to use my input. I was able to input my own stuff in there and to do my own thing. And I was, like you said, Frank, I was me. I wasn't nervous or nothing because I was being me and I was comfortable. And you're right. That's what Roman has to do. He has to become himself and he will become more comfortable and he will get his gimmick. He will get his character over as a heel. I agree with you 100%.
I saw the other day on YouTube, it was an interview they did with Bruce Pritchard. And Bruce Pritchard went through The Rock and how that came about. And I understand that Dwayne Johnson wasn't comfortable at first becoming a heel. And it was actually Jim Ross who kind of talked him into doing it. And they actually, where the whole talking in third person came from, was watching Deion Sanders talking. And that's how Deion would talk. So that's where it came from. Roman Reigns has to find his Deion Sanders, pretty much. You know what I mean? He's got to find something that works for him and he's comfortable with. And you can see that this guy has the potential to be that kick-ass heel. And once he does that, once he wins over the vocal minority, out there of the guys, and I'm going to put it to you like this. It ain't just the smarts. It's the casuals that he has went over to, because there's casuals that boo his ass too. And like I said, a lot of it has to do, there's a lot of guys that could be jealous of Roman Reigns due to his looks or whatever it could be, and a lot of guys just think he sucks. And a lot of it is, you know what, he works hard, but he doesn't have the charisma, he don't have the mic skills, and the wrestling ability is just not there. But over time, it can be there. It's not a lost cause at all. There's never a lost cause in the wrestling business unless your name is Heath Slater or somebody like that. And that's no knock against Heath Slater. That's just telling the truth.
Right.
Geez, Frank, could you say Roman Reigns could use a Teddy Long managing him?
Roman Reigns should definitely benefit from somebody being a mouthpiece. Roman Reigns should definitely benefit from having a mouthpiece. Absolutely, yes. And I'm not saying, you know, at first I'm like, oh, maybe he could be a Paul Heyman guy or something like that. No, you don't have to go that route. Just let Roman be himself. Let Roman be himself. Let Roman be a cocky-ass guy who don't give a shit what people think about him. That's what
exactly.
In the moment that Roman doesn't give a shit, that's when the fans will give a shit.
Right. Exactly.
Dang, Don King?
Yeah,
they said that
to me. Yeah, they wanted me to be, but they didn't have a clue about what I could do. So they were just coming up with something that they thought would be perfect for me to be. But they told me that. They wanted me to be Don King.
Okay, now, if they wanted you to be Don King, are you also going to steal your wrestler's money?
Am I also going to put on a wig with my hair spiked up to the top of the ceiling? So what? I don't get that.
Yeah, are you going to go get somebody who can't count to 10 and take his money? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, no, I told him, I said, okay, yeah, no problem, guys, but I didn't even have that in my mind, man. I said, I know how to do this.
Right.
Wow, Don King
in
professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Wow. That was a brainchild of somebody there.
Well, I'm saying, he came to me and told me that's exactly what they were.
Then again, you know, Frank, TNA didn't want him because he was a talker, so, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm not gonna name any names, but they turned down a guy who's working behind the scenes right now at NXT. They turned him down because they didn't want another bald head guy. So, yeah, go figure.
Go figure.
Oh, God, another bald guy. Wow.
Well, you know, speaking of TNA, as Frank would say, the dead brand here, two big names gone from the roster. Boy, Frank, this roster is just way down, diminishing by the week here. We have Bobby Roode and Eric Young are now gone officially from TNA Wrestling. And, you know, Frank, this roster is so depleted. When they would say top star in TNA, it's like an oxymoron. Who the hell's a top star in TNA anymore? Everybody's gone, and now Bobby Roode and Eric Young are gone, and boy, the future sure looks bleak, but I guess on the flip side, Bobby Roode and Eric Young, are they going to be top stars in WWE now?
Here's the thing with that. And me and Ali actually talked about this on a Raw Deal podcast, and my assessment is this. Eric Young, I could see Eric Young maybe fitting into WWE NXT or something like that simply because they probably were looking at him and be like, oh, you know what? You can be the next Eugene. Yeah, we can use you.
Oh,
Bobby,
that's no
knock on Eric Young. That's just how that's the mind frame of WWE. Bobby Roode, on the other hand, I think Bobby Roode is a great wrestler. He's a great worker. He's proven himself in TNA that he can survive there. I think that you can utilize the Bobby Roode on the main roster in a big role. I can see him doing matches with people like Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, John Cena. The list goes on and on. I see a lot of Triple H and Bobby Roode, so I would love to see Bobby Roode come there. But, flip side, there's a huge void right now of talents in Japan, simply because a lot of guys have left and gone on to other things. Bobby Roode can go over to Japan. Eric Young could probably go over to Japan and make a lot of money, too. It's basically going to be where they get the best deal. But me, personally, I'd love to see them go to WWE.
What do you think, Teddy? I kind of see Bobby Roode definitely WWE bound. I think he's been a guy that over the years has kind of reached out to them. He seems like he's a guy that could really fit, you know, what they're looking for in a wrestler, and I guess a sports entertainer anymore, but I could really see Bobby Roode fitting well into the WWE fold, and I could see him really becoming a top star in WWE.
Well, I agree with both of you guys. I like Bobby Roode. I think he's a phenomenal worker, and I, like you say, I can certainly see him being a big star there. Now, you take Eric Young. I don't really know him that well, you know, but I've watched, you know, some of his work on TNA. And I agree with Frank, you know, they're going to bring him in to be your next Eugene because his character has always just been ha-ha. TNA just had him doing some of the most dumbest stuff I've ever seen in my life. Even when the guy was a TNA world champion, they still had him doing ha-ha stuff. You know, you could never take him serious. So I don't know whether they could bring him to WWE, rebrand him, and, you know, what people could take him serious. You know, I don't know. That could happen, but I'm like Frank, you know, I just seeing them bringing him in and you the next Eugene. But Bobby Roode, I can certainly see him, you know, being a big asset to WWE.
Well, and the thing, too, with Eric Young is that I can see Eric Young being a great asset to WWE simply because Eric Young had a show that I used to watch on Animal Planet. I thought it was a pretty entertaining show that he would do. So he, you know, he could do that. And I think that the last time I watched TNA, Eric Young was a heel, and he was playing a crazy heel. He can change it up. But the problem is that once you've been typecast in a certain role, that's how people are going to forever see you. I mean, Axel, the cast members from Saved by the Bell, how people view them today, you know what I mean? I think the only one that ever branched out was like Mario Lopez, maybe. But going back with Eric Young, I mean, when I look at Eric Young and I'm WWE, oh, okay, you know, you have that look where, yeah, we got a lot of kids in the audience. You can play that, you know, that Eugene-type character where everybody loves you. You're good for a match on NXT, or you're good for Superstars or something like that. You're good. You're a good enhancement guy. And that's no knock against Eric Young at all. I respect Eric Young. I respect his accomplishments in the business. But like they say, it doesn't matter what you did before WWE because it don't matter.
Exactly.
You might say, too, Frank, is nobody's watching TNA anyways.
Well, you know, see, honestly, somebody
and nobody, not anymore, they are.
Because this past week, I think they did like 300,000 viewers on Pop TV. You know something? I'm not going to knock them. People say all the time, I want to get this out right now. People say all the time, how can I call TNA the dead brand? And I'm going to be honest with you why I called them the dead brand. When I was watching TNA, they had Jeff Jarrett down there, had AJ Styles down there, Samoa Joe, all these different talents, the heart and soul of TNA. When TNA lost their heart and soul in Jeff Jarrett and AJ Styles, I'm like, this is done here. It's finished. Because it would be the same equivalent of WCW if WCW would have lost Sting and Ric Flair at the same damn time. Same thing. So that's why I call him a dead man. I just don't, I'm not feeling it at all. But congratulations to Drew Galloway, the former Drew McIntyre, on becoming the TNA World Champion. That's a hell of an accomplishment for him. And he was able to do something over in TNA that he wasn't able to do at WWE because of the female.
Right. Well, you know, I'm like you, Frank. You know, I you know, they lost a lot of good, you know, a lot of good talent. They lost a lot of guys, and you're right. That's when it certainly became dead. So I'm with you. I have no idea how they're going to survive. I don't know what they have nobody. I think Kurt Angle is also gone, too. So, I mean, who are they going to, you know, feature on their TV that's going to draw them ratings plus draw money on pay-per-views and house shows? They have absolutely nobody.
They've lost so much of the, like you said, they've lost so much of the talent. And what pisses me off when it comes to TNA is that they, at one point in time, they could have been a legitimate number two organization. They had everything going for them. They had the X Division going for them. I thought the X Division was the best damn thing I had ever seen. That they was doing kick-ass matches down there with the X Division. And this is, I'm talking about the early days. I'm talking about guys like AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn and a low-key Christopher Sabin, Matt Bentley, Frankie Kazarian. You know, all these different guys down there working. They had some pretty cool stuff going on. I used to look forward to the old TNA Wednesday night shows, you know, for $9.99. I would gladly pay that. And it's just, yeah. I don't know what the hell happened, what the direction changed, but they took the emphasis off the X Division, and the heavyweight division to me was always lacking. But then they turned it around. They brought in more talents like Samoa Joe came down there and really made a name for himself. You know, he had a name for himself before that, but really made a name for himself on the national level with TNA. They could have been a legit number two promotion. They had Spike TV behind them, and I don't know what the hell happened. But then they, you know, they bring in people like Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan, and I'm a Eric Bischoff fan, but the guy's success was limited to only what he did in WCW. And he was a big part of the success, but he was also a big part of the reason why it failed.
And they also overpaid a lot of those guys. They gave those guys way too much money, okay? They gave those guys all this money before they was even ever making any money. So that was their downfall, number one. But you got a woman that's running the company, you know, I don't know her, but all the basically everybody that I talked to has been down there and say she's a big mark. So you can't run a company being a mark, you know what I mean? You got to want to make money, and you got to understand what this business is all about. And there were certainly people there that knew how to run a wrestling company at one time. She had talent right there, and she had minds, and she had brains. Bruce Pritchard was there. Bruce Pritchard worked with Vince over 20-some years. I knew he knew how to run a company because Bruce Pritchard was so tight with Vince. I can tell you this. I was right there. Bruce Pritchard, Vince McMahon never let anybody approve anything. They always had to bring it to him and get his approval. But I saw Vince one time tell Bruce, he said, Bruce, no, it was something that I was doing. And Bruce told Vince, he said, well, we finished with Teddy's thing here, so you want to take a look at it? And Vince said to Bruce, he said, Bruce, God, you think it's all right? How's it to you? What do you think? And Bruce said, well, Vince, I think it's good. Well, goddammit, let's go with it. It's great. So Vince would let Vince approve stuff, and that he don't do. So I'm saying they had people there that knew what to do that could have turned that company around. Now, why they didn't do that, I don't know. Might have been jealousy because they're bringing a lot of guys in, giving them all this money, and they ain't did nothing for it yet.
I'm going to say it like this. I give Dixie Carter and the Carter family all the respect in the world because at one point in time when the Jarretts had NWA TNA, they lost so much money with that. The company was, I understand, was bankrupt. So the Carters came in and rescued the company. But they never should have given Dixie control of the company. Because all I heard was Dixie's a nice woman, but she let these guys come in that had success and not tell her the whole story. I mean, it's like, did Dixie Carter ever think to realize, hey, you know what? Why did WCW go out of business? Yeah, we know AOL, you know, Time Warner came in and merged the company, and they wanted nothing to do with professional wrestling. But what was the problems going on before that in WCW? They don't tell her about this shit. So they come in, well, hey, brother, you know, I could really do a lot for your brand here. We're going to come in, brother, and we're going to take away the six-sided ring, what's worth, man. We're going to take that away, dude, and we're going to bring in the four-size, brother, and everybody's going to go crazy. Then we're going to bring in the Nasty Boys. And then we're going to bring in Hall and Nash and all these other guys, brother, and we're going to get this thing going. We're going to have the, you know, the NWO. We can't be NWO, but we're going to be the band, brother, and it's going to work. And Hulkamania is going to run wild down here at TNA. Well, Hulkamania didn't do shit.
And we're going to go on to Monday nights and compete against Raw
head-to-head. And that was their idea. We're going to go head-to-head. We're going to take TNA. And I'm going to tell you right now, the first show they did that Monday, they did that first Monday night show. It was the night where Hulk Hogan came in, Ric Flair came in. They did a 1.4. It was the same night, and they competed with Raw that was featured the return of Bret the Hitman Hart. And Impact was good that night. I have to admit, it was good. I'm like, okay, maybe this worked. But then when they started changing shit, like the ring and all this, and then you start seeing people like Orlando Jordan come on, I'm seeing Sean Morley come on trying to be Val Venus. I'm like, I see the Nasty Boys looking fat as. I'm like,
I got you.
What the hell is what the hell is it? Bubba the Love Sponge? I mean, what the hell?
The first mistake they made is when they hired Vince Russo. That was their first mistake.
Could be, but here's the thing: when Russo was down there, and I know a lot of people out there listening to this don't like Vince Russo, but Vince Russo, when he was there, I mean, TNA had over 1 million viewers. So, I mean, sometimes you got to give credit where credit's due, you know?
Well, I think, I go along with you with that, and I think the only reason that happened is because Vince Russo gave them a lot of ideas that he got from Vince McMahon. See, when I first went to New York, you know, when they were doing good there, when I first started there, you know, they always talked about, you know, Vince Russo being the creative guy, and Vince Russo was the guy that was coming up with all these ideas. No, that was not true. I found out that, you know, it was basically Vince. Vince Russo had a lot to put in it, but Vince had to approve every one of those ideas. And Vince Russo wasn't, you know, as everybody was thinking, he wasn't really the guy that everybody say he was. I found that out when I got there.
Right, and I've heard that. I've heard that a lot. And Vince McMahon's gone on record, you know, saying that. So, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, Vince Russo came up with a lot of ideas, him and F. Robert, but Vince McMahon was there to edit the script. But here's the counter to that, Teddy. The counter to that is that what has happened over the years with WWE Creative? Why is WWE Creative in the shitter now? If Vince McMahon is the guy who edited all this stuff, why is Creative so bad now?
Right.
And why does he hire writers that thinks Orlando Jordan is Booker T?
Well, that's the truth. That's a goddamn truth, brother. Like I said, I told you before, they had a girl working there that didn't even know who Stone Cold Steve Austin was.
That's ridiculous.
She
wasn't there long, but that was really sad. She didn't even know who Stone Cold was, man.
That's the problem. That's the problem with WWE is it's creative.
You know what I think, and this is my opinion. They had a great guy there, and I thought was real great for it. It would have been for their creative department was Freddie Prinze Jr. I worked with him a couple of times, and I thought he was outstanding there. But I don't know what happened. I think he just couldn't take the ridicule of Vince sometimes. You know, that's what I heard. You know, he just couldn't stand that ridicule, so that's why he left. I don't know, but that's what I heard. But Freddie Prinze Jr. I thought would have been a great help to them.
I've heard the same thing about, you know, Stephanie McMahon and her interaction with a lot of the writers too wasn't very positive. And I think a lot of that too, honestly, Stephanie McMahon tries too hard to be Vince. And I don't know, I mean, she just tries to have that persona about herself, that aura about herself, like, you know, she wants everybody to know that she is the boss. And I just don't get that. I mean, when I look at her on TV, I mean, I know that's his daughter now, but I'm like, damn, that's Vince McMahon.
Well, that's who she learned from, my dad.
You can now listen to the
Derrick Report podcast
on the free TuneIn Radio app, featuring over 100,000 real radio stations, over 4 million podcasts streaming live from every continent, offering unprecedented access to listen to anything, anywhere. TuneIn lets you listen to over 100,000 real radio stations and more than 4 million podcasts from every continent, 200,000 mobile downloads per day, available on iPhone, iPad, Android tablets, Windows 8, BlackBerry, Amazon Kindle. Available in over 200 branded products with millions of devices sold worldwide, including Samsung Smart TV, Roku, Sonos, Sony PlayStation, Amazon Echo, Panasonic Beira TV, Logitech Squeezebox. TuneIn brings streaming radio to cars, including GM, Ford, BMW, Tesla, Mercedes-Benz, Volvo, Nissan, Fiat, and more.
Hey, what's up, players? Teddy Long. Hey, for all your pro wrestling news, all you've got to do is go to Gehrig.net. That's right. For all your pro wrestling news, go to Gehrig.net. And they have been number one since 1997. Now, that's a long time, players. That means it's a lot of credibility. Holla.
Howdy. This is Paul London. I used to wrestle for the WWE, Tag Team Champion and Cruiserweight Champion. You're listening to the Gehrig Report with my friends Steve Gehrig and Frank D. Don't upset them, or I'll come find you. Thanks.
Check out youtube.com/Gehrig Report Podcast today. Subscribe to our channel, like our videos, leave your comments. We definitely appreciate your support.
After enjoying this edition of the GRP, the Gehrig Report Podcast, definitely head over to www.gerweck.net for other great wrestling podcasts, such as The Rack Show with Lindsay Ward and Sir Rockin', Pro Wrestling Nation with Sam Medina. Check out Breaking Raw with Atlee Green as they cover every edition of Monday Night Raw. And then you can also join Atlee Green and my main man, my tag team partner, Frank D, on the Raw Deal Podcast. All available at www.gerweck.net.
Hey, what's up, players? This is Teddy Long. And if you want to look like a true player, then you need to get yourself a Gehrig Report Podcast T-shirt. That's right. Get yourself the Gehrig Report Podcast T-shirt, the same one that I'm wearing and sporting and looking good in it each and every day. And if you want to get one of them, all you got to do is go to Pro Wrestling Tees. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Gehrig. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gehrig. Get your T-shirt today, and you can look as pretty as me. Holla.
Let me ask you this, Teddy, because you were there when a lot of rumors would circulate about possible TNA talent coming in. I know Bobby Roode's name has come up over the years when his contract would come up, or James Storm, but some of the other names that would serve as AJ Styles name would always, you know, pop up as a possible jump to WWE. And for the most part, over the years, I mean, until recently when they had Samoa Joe and AJ, and now they have Austin Aries, but, you know, in recent years, they've been kind of lukewarm on TNA talent. Was there just a viewpoint of, well, TNA is just, you know, they're just over there, they're just that little filler TV show over here, we don't really care about them? Or was there just something bias against TNA talent that they really didn't touch over the years?
Well, my opinion on that, I don't think they really cared about TNA. At the time I was there, and when TNA was doing stuff, you know, Vince was doing okay, business was good, you know, ratings were good. So I don't think they really even cared about them. They didn't, you know, I'm sure that they watched them and kept up with what was going on because, you know, they had some of the guys over there, Hogan, and some guys that worked for Vince. But I really don't think he really cared anything about TNA. It didn't faze him not one bit at all. So I don't think they were really interested in none of the TNA talent. And they didn't want to take them because they knew sooner or later what was going to happen to TNA. Vince McMahon is a smart man. And he knew sooner or later, you know what I mean, what was going to happen. So why take some of these guys and bring them over to your company that was with a failing company? All that is to Vince is an embarrassment. So he will wait until you finally go completely out or you're on your way out. Then it would probably mean more to him to take some of those guys from him then than it would have been back there when they were doing good.
Well, let me ask you this, too, because we've talked about Sean Morley, and I think he just came up in our conversation today, the former Val Venus. He was on Twitter, and they were asking him about the talent today, and somebody made the suggestion that wrestling just really lacks talent today. And he responded by saying that there's talent today, it's just they're pigeonholed by this PG era of WWE. Do you kind of agree with that, that there's a lot of talent, but they're just pigeonholed by what the current direction of WWE currently is?
Well, I kind of agree with that, because right now it's just a lot of stuff that you can't do. It's a lot of stuff you can't put on TV because you're going to have people calling and a lot of things you can't do. And Val is right. They do got talent, but, you know, it ain't about that. You know, I don't think what you can't do on TV now has anything to do with getting a guy over or getting, you know, making, you know, somebody that has good talent, making them a success. I don't think that has anything to do with it. It's a way you can use everybody. So I wouldn't put it on that. I wouldn't blame that on that. I think it's just the way the guy's being used. And not only that, once they put you out there, you know, it's like I said, you got to be your own man, and you got to understand what your job is and what your character is, and you got to know how to get yourself over. They can't do everything, but they can put you in a position to get over. All you got to do is get out there and do it. So if you don't do it, you know, then they ain't going to help you because they ain't got time right now to nurse nobody. It ain't, you know, either you got it now or you don't.
A lot of it, too, Frank, is just basic booking. They just don't know how to make stars anymore.
Yeah, it's just, it all goes back to creative. You can create superstars in a PG environment. WWE wasn't always TV-14, okay? When they started going up against WCW and when they changed over Raw is War, that show was still a PG show, okay? So they know how to do things. They know how to push it out. But the problem is that in 2016, WWE is a lot more conscious of what they do because they have a lot more sponsorship than they did back in the day. So they're not going to go do certain things now to risk their sponsorship. Because here's the bottom line. It doesn't matter, Steve, if I'm on the Raw Deal podcast. It don't matter if I'm on, you know, this one. Don't matter how much we bitch and moan and complain. It don't matter. It don't make a damn difference. You know why? Because we're still going to have the network. We're still going to watch Raw. We're still going to watch WrestleMania. We're still going to buy the merchandise. And they're still going to make a buck. The way you get to WWE is you get through to them by taking away money out of their wallet. That's how you affect Vince McMahon. That's how you affect the direction of the company. Right now, they said that this is they said last year or whatever was their most profitable year ever in the company. And this is when we're saying all this shit is bad. We're saying this show sucks, but they're making money.
Right.
And that's what it comes down to. Vince McMahon could give a shit about what Frank D says. He don't give a shit about what Teddy Long says or Steve Gerwig or anybody out there because you know what? I'm still making money. Ha ha ha. That's the bottom line.
And you're right, brother. That's the bottom line. He's still making money, and that's what it's all about. If you ain't making no money, then that's when you got a problem.
Exactly. The way you get to Vince McMahon is you go through his money. You go through his wallet. So when McMahon comes up there and talking about, well, we've had a decrease here, we've made, you know, less money in this quarter, that quarter, then you'll start to see things changing. But right now, when you got all these people clamoring to, you know, for WWE, and they're doing all these numbers, and people are going to the live events, and they're selling all this merchandise, they don't give a shit. They think they're doing something right.
They ain't going to change nothing. They're not going to change not one fucking thing.
They think they're doing something right. So they're not going to change. Like Teddy said, they ain't going to change a fucking thing because they think they're doing something. They think they're doing everything right. Oh, these fans really like this, or you know, it doesn't matter if they're booing Roman. Eventually, they'll start cheering him in time. Let's keep on and keep going with this. We're not going to have a Daniel Bryan situation here.
Right.
Well, Vince has always said he knows what you want before you know what you want.
Well, I've heard that.
Yeah, I've
heard that before.
He said that, and you cannot deny that they're making money.
Right.
Well, that's true. But I don't know, you know, when I see these ratings come in every week.
Well, Vince McMahon has already said, see, that the company is no longer built around ratings. It's built around network subscriptions. If it's built around network subscriptions, well, don't you think you need to have a real good vehicle, a good television show like Monday Night Raw to really make you want to subscribe to the network to watch your damn pay-per-views? I mean, I would think that would be the way to go, right?
The problem with that model, and it does make sense, but eventually if you just totally crap on your TV show, and when Vince goes up to renegotiate his contract with USA, and Bonnie Hammer says, gosh, remember when you used to get 4.0s and 4.5s and 5?
It don't matter. You know why it doesn't matter? Because they still are the number one cable show on USA. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. USA Network is going to, you know, maybe not give WWE all they want, but they're going to give them something to keep that programming on there. Because they're still number one. It doesn't matter. Raw could be a shit show. They're still going to be number one for the night. And they're probably, if they're not number one, they're going to be probably number two or three behind, you know, Love and Hip Hop or some shit. They're going to be, they're still successful is what I'm getting at. They're still going to be the number one show out there. They are an established brand, whether they're hot or not. Everybody knows WWE. And that's
exactly. Exactly. That sums it up right there. And they're, like you said, they're making money, so they don't give a shit.
Stan Hansen's been announced for the WWE Hall of Fame.
I worked with him down in WCW, NWA days. I remember one time, I forget what the match was, but I had the opportunity to go out and manage him at one time. So, boy, I know I hadn't seen him in, golly, ages. But, you know, when I worked in WCW, NWA, I met him down there, and he seemed like a pretty nice guy. But like I said, I never did have too much reaction with him. He was a big Ole Anderson guy, so I kind of stayed away from him.
I think it's long overdue, Frank. I think this guy should have been in a long
time ago. I'm really happy to see Stan and Larry Hansen going in. I saw the video of his match he did with Vader when Vader's eye came out. That was some crazy shit. So, yeah, he's definitely a Hall of Famer, and I can't wait to hear his speech.
Yeah.
And I guess, Frank, you were telling Teddy and I that you got into, I guess the Raw deal coming out, you got into the Sting situation because TMZ reported as kind of a fact that Sting was done, his neck was messed up, he's never going to wrestle again. Maybe he makes the announcement at the Hall of Fame that I'm officially retired now. Now we're kind of seeing TMZ kind of backtrack a little bit. Maybe he's feeling okay. Maybe he's not quite retired. I'm hearing possibly that he was okay, maybe even doing a match at WrestleMania this year. They didn't offer him the match he wanted. One of the matches I've heard them offer was Sting versus Bray Wyatt, which is something that didn't exactly appeal to him. So I guess to follow up on the podcast coming up with Raw Deal here, when you and Atlee Green, apparently Sting is not officially
retired. Sting made it very clear in a video that some guy interviewed him and asked him, clear point out, are you retired? Sting says, I'm not officially retired and my neck is okay, is what he said. Now, it could be that he's saying, I'm not officially retired, but I'm going to retire at the Hall of Fame, or it could be a swerve. Listen, here's the bottom line. Nobody knows what's going on with Steve Borden's neck except Steve Borden. WWE has been very tight-lipped about this situation. Okay, the last time you saw Sting on WWE TV was at Night of Champions when he had the match with Seth Rollins. That's the last time you heard anything about Sting, other than him going into the Hall of Fame. So I don't know what it is. All I heard is that the guy has spinal stenosis, which is a very serious condition. And it's, I believe it's the same condition that caused Edge to retire early from the ring. So I don't know how his neck is right now. Only he knows. He when I saw him the other night, he didn't look to be in any pain in that video. So I don't know. And if they were talking about him doing a match, maybe WWE knows something we don't know. Maybe Sting will play a role at WrestleMania. Maybe we'll see Sting, you know, interfere in the Hell in a Cell match with Shane and Undertaker. Maybe they'll give you that, you know, not the match, but they'll give you some type of an interaction between Sting and Taker.
I don't know, Teddy. If I was 57 and I'm Sting and I assume I've got some money in the bank because certainly he's made millions of dollars over the years. I don't know how well he's managed his money, certainly. We've known that some people have blown through a lot of millions of dollars as we have been well documented, but I don't know. If I'm him and I'm 57 and I've got a bad neck and I really don't need the ring anymore, why not just officially retire?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. Okay, like Frank says, you know, he says he's not officially retired yet. All right, well, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, I mean, Kurt Angle, for example, you know, he knew about his neck and stuff, and I think he was advised one time to get out of the ring. But I think Kurt was a little bit hard-headed, and he continued to wrestle. I mean, you know, like Daniel Bryan, you know, some guys got this in their blood. This is what they do, and they love doing it. And Daniel Bryan and Kurt Angle were some of those guys. And I don't think Sting really so much cares about doing this, but he knows that if he can get one more run, and I think it may be good for him, maybe next WrestleMania, Sting and Undertaker. Like you said, he may interfere in that. But that's one match that has never happened, and that's a good payday. So if there's something that Sting could probably do where they can get one more match out of him, he make a big payday, I'm sure he'll do that and maybe retire then. Because I think him and I'm working in the ring with The Undertaker, somebody that is polished and experienced like The Undertaker, it's like a night off. So it's going to be easy for him, and it's going to be a big payday. So maybe that's what he's trying to say. He's got one more run, and maybe him and Undertaker may be the last ride. I don't know, but If I were him, if I could get that one more run, you know, and know that I'm not going to re-injure myself, I'd go for it. But if he's got a bad neck and he knows that if he can land at any time and it might be over, then I wouldn't take that chance.
Okay, just how much more time does Undertaker have, too?
I mean, well, like I said, working with Undertaker is a night out, brother. It's easy. It's not hard at all.
It's like, you know what, with Sting, if the neck is as bad as the reports of men, I wouldn't risk it. Because you're talking about your mobility. You're talking about, you know, possibly being paralyzed or some shit. So I wouldn't risk that. But if he...
No, me neither. I wouldn't.
If he still has him, that he wants to go out there and do one more match, he wants to have, you know, get that win in WWE, by all means, do it. But, you know, I don't... Listen, Sting being 57 in a ring, I'm still looking at Ric Flair every damn week. So, you know, who cares? If the guy can still go out there and do it, go out there and do it. You know, same thing with Taker. Taker knows when Taker wants to hang up the boots. He'll know when the time is right.
Right, and he's smart enough to know Taker ain't a guy that's going to go out there and take a chance on hurting himself or know that he can be hurt. He's smart. So when you see him stepping in that ring, he's very comfortable and he knows that he's going to be okay.
And, of course, as well, probably the biggest story the last couple of days is that Hulk Hogan won his lawsuit against Gawker. $115 million. That's a good chunk of change there. I believe he asked for $100 million, and he was awarded $115 million. It's a thing that a lot of people wonder, will he ever see any money of that $115? You got to expect appeals, and this will probably drag out in the courts for a while. But do you ever see Hulk Hogan making any of that money back from this lawsuit? Is he going to be the $100 million man?
Well, I see him getting some money. Don't know what, you know, the amount or what it's going to be, but I see him getting some money, and I see him, you know, I can see that money being a good, a big chunk of money, too. Probably be great for Hogan. You know, I'm sure he don't want to get back in the ring anymore. You know, he's had about seven operations on his back, and I was told this to me by Jimmy Hart, and Jimmy Hart's real close to him. Jimmy knows. So, like I said, I see him getting some kind of money. I don't know what it's going to be, but congratulations to him, and God bless him.
$100 million, Frank. Now we can afford TNA.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm glad that Hogan, Hogan's legs robbed the Gawker and got the 1-2-3, and I doubt he'll ever see any of that money unless it comes to some sort of a settlement. where they pay him. But nonetheless, I'm kind of thinking now that this situation is kind of concluded, for the most part, will we see the Hulkster return to WWE where he belongs? Let me tell you something right now. Hulk Hogan said some bullshit. We know what he said, so there's no reason to rehash it right here. We know what Hulk Hogan said in that video.
Well, but, what about all the people? Well, hey, Frank, what about all them that said that same bullshit that we don't even know about?
Well, that's what I was trying to get to. If you haven't, if you can say that you've never said anything that you shouldn't have said, you're a liar. We've all done that. And I'm like this. I don't believe that Hulk Hogan's a racist. I think that he says some shit that he shouldn't have said, just like we've all been guilty of doing that, and we move forward from it. And I think that Hogan's rightful place is back in the WWE. And I would hope that they would put him back in WWE. I hope that Hulk Hogan is in the next video game that comes out. I hope that we see some more Hulk Hogan content release, because it's where he belongs. And Hogan made a huge mistake with that shit. And I think over, you know, time, I think that it's like, okay, now everything is quiet now. Hogan still has his fans. Hogan still has a lot of fans that are black that are cool with Hogan. And, you know, that's what it is. I mean, I'm not going to forever judge the man because he made, you know, a mistake. I'll judge him on the other shit that he's done in the wrestling business. But I'm not going to judge him because he, you know, was at a time and said some shit that he should have said. Okay, listen, the guy didn't want his daughter to date the black guy. Whoop-de-fucking-do. Okay, he was being real about it. So yeah. That's how he feels. That's how he felt. And that's just how
and
it is.
He's the only white guy that don't want his daughter dating a black guy. He's the only white guy that don't want that to happen.
Exactly. So, like, okay, so he says something. That's the problem with society today, is that you can't say shit anymore. Well, you can't say shit without everybody getting offended. Okay, Hulk Hogan said nigger on the video. Whoop-de-fucking-do. He said it. Okay, so what's your point? Big deal. He said,
well, I tell you what, did you see the video with Vince and John Cena and Booker T where Vince come in and said, what's up, my nigga?
I saw that, but, you know, WWE put out a statement saying, well, you know, that was the storyline. Okay, well, you know what? It still was said. And a lot of people
right,
probably...
Right, that's what I'm saying. It still was said. Whether it was a storyline or not, it still was said.
Exactly.
But did anybody blow that out of proportion like they did the Hulk Hogan thing?
No, but I think what it was with Hulk Hogan is such Hulk Hogan was such an iconic figure in pop culture that people took it, you know, people were surprised and shocked to hear this. Dude, I wasn't surprised at all when I heard this shit because I remember going back to when he said the shit about John Graziano after the accident when he was talking to Nick Bollea in the jail. So I wasn't surprised at all when the whole thing happened with Hulk Hogan. And it's like I'm not gonna hold back on the guy because of that. I still watch Hogan shit, you know, on the network. I'm still a Hollywood Hogan fan. So I mean it's whatever. You know, the guy said something and a big deal. We all say shit. We've all said shit. So that's just how it is. People need to get their head out of their ass. And that's just
the other thing, people are saying it right now. So I don't understand about that. Let that go, man. I've been heard the word nigga 100,000 times. If I word about that shit, I'd be out of my mind. So I don't care what you say to me. You can call me anything you want to call me. Just don't put your hands on me. It's just that simple. So, you know, quit worrying about all that. You know what I mean? Shit, I call people niggas too. I do. I do. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, look at the rap music. You know what I'm saying? You know, nigga and this, nigga and that. You know what I mean? So some people just, you know, tend to take that and just try to, you know, use it like they did back in the 1960s. You know, black people done got over that, man. You know, and you can see that a lot of white people, especially the Republicans, they real smart to it. Now they change it to thugs. So they don't have to say the word nigga. They call them, the word is thug now. So that replaces nigga.
Yeah, listen, I've been called a nigga before, and I'm like, okay, well, you got to do a lot more than that to piss me off, because, yeah, that's just how it is. But
right, and then, let me correct myself, or you be getting some crazy calls on this. I'm not just accusing Republicans of saying the word thug. Any white person that know what the code is for the word nigga, they say that. That could be Democrat, Republican, anybody. It don't make no difference. So I ain't just throwing something out there on the Republican. Let me get that straight, folks. Somebody be calling, talking about I'm hating on them. I ain't hating on nobody.
Well, once again, like I said, congratulations to the officer for dropping a big leg and getting the 1, 2, 3, and now he's going to get this money or maybe get this money, and hopefully his ex-wife don't get a dime.
Yeah, well, I hope she don't either, because we ain't heard nothing out of her until she found out that this man might have, you know, is probably going to get some money. And next thing I look up, I see her on TV bursting out in tears, crying, talking about I gave him everything. Yeah, you gave him everything, and you had an affair with a 19-year-old kid that was supposed to have been cleaning your swimming pool. So, it's unbelievable, man. Now she's crying. I gave him everything. But I hope she gets not one dime.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody cares a damn about what Linda Bollea has to say. You know, bottom line of the situation is, Hulk was out there he was out there busting his ass on the road, getting messed up backs, messed up knees. He was the one putting all the work in. All you did was sit at home and spend his money. That's pretty much
right. You probably lived better than you ever lived in your entire life.
Exactly. So screw you.
Yeah, I'm sure he paid for the boob job there.
He paid for everything. He didn't work nowhere.
TeddyLong.com is the website. Teddy Play Along on Twitter. And I know you got some shows coming up. You got Ron Simmons and the Boogeyman coming up.
Well, we're coming up on this Thursday in Davie, Florida. It's a big spring break down there for Fighting Evolution Wrestling. It's also on that card. It's going to be Too Cold Scorpio. Get a chance to see him. I haven't seen him in a while. But it's Too Cold, Boogeyman, Ron Simmons, and myself. We're on that big show on this coming Thursday. And on Friday night, I'm in Port St. Lucie, Florida, with the Ignite Wrestling. Big show there, along with Santana Garrett. There's a couple other stars from Ring of Honor. They're going to be there. I don't know who they are right now, but I know they are on the card. So going to be a big, great weekend down in Florida, and looking for everybody to come out and celebrate and have a great time.
Absolutely. So definitely check out TeddyLong.com for all the updates on Teddy Long, and follow him on Twitter, Teddy Playa Long. And always a pleasure talking to you, to my friend. It's always great to get into these subjects. I thought we had a great debate today, and looking forward to the next episode.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Appreciate, I'm always looking forward to talking to you and Frank every week. I always look forward to that, man, and just thank you guys for, giving me the opportunity to be on here with you, and I love every moment of it, man, and let's keep it going. We ain't stopping, player. We're going to keep on pushing with this thing.